Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, we're going to go to the mailbag again, and it's going to stimulate some conversations that I'm a little uncomfortable to have, but I think it needs to be done, so we'll go ahead and try it. The first article reads as follows. We're leaving. Rich Americans are ditching California and taking their tax dollars with them. And now the tax rates they're fleeing have been raised even higher. Goes on and says, the Golden State has lost its shine for the wealthiest residents. In 2023, California's population dipped below 39 million, the lowest count since 2015. So I want to bring this up to you. So why am I getting this? Is this political? It is political, but it's economically political, if that makes any sense at all. In other words, it's something you better be aware of if you're investing in stuff. And I have for years said I would never invest in California. Now, we have tons of members in California, by the way. And we've only bought, I think, one, maybe two apartment complexes ever in California. And that was in a very conservative part of the state, very center of the state. So where do all these investors that live in California invest? They invest in other states because California is pro-tenant and anti-landlord. It's high taxation. Your stuff can be robbed and stolen, and no one cares. You know, they just go into stores and rob them. The police don't even go after them. Now, here's the deal. I read a book quite a few years ago. The name of the book is called Atlas Shrugged, and it's by an author named Ayn Rand. It was written in 1957. It was at that time a country way back then in 57 that was doing exactly what America's doing today. It is becoming socialist. And this book was about the difference between being an individual and standing up for oneself and taking care of oneself and being responsible for oneself and collectivism, where from those who have to those who need was the motto of the book, of the socialists, of the collectivism back then. And I don't think she actually even uses the word socialism. She calls it collectivism or something like that. I may be wrong. It's 800 pages, hard to remember, and I read it, you know, 20, 30 years ago. But if you could ever read this book, you will understand what's happening in the United States because it is exactly what is happening. So in this book, and what's happening right now is that people are becoming progressively less educated. You can see that the Democrats, and we're going to call them progressives, and the progressives have decided that to get control of the country, they have to program kids. And they figured that out 10, 15 years ago. And conservatives in this battle, and by the way, I'm not claiming to be either one of these people, but conservatives in this battle just kind of lost it. They're going like, you know what, I'm busy. I've got a job. I've got to get my kids through college. I've got, you know, take care of my responsibility with my business, my home. Conservatives are busy taking care of the world. And liberals have nothing to do but complain and ask for stuff for free. And so that's why they have the political clout that they do, why they have the political power. You'll never see conservatives, real conservatives, that would take off work to go down to riot or to boycott or to do anything crazy like that, because they're too busy just taking care of business, taking care of life, taking care of themselves, being responsible, right? So what happens in this book and what happens is happening in the U.S. is that a larger and larger and larger percentage of the people in that book, and now Americans, have been educated by this lower class educational system that has dumbed them down to where they don't understand economics. They don't understand law. They don't understand anything. All they understand is these people said if I vote for them, they'll give me things I want. I want to be able to have sex with whoever I want to have sex with anytime I want to have sex. And if I create babies, I want to be able to get rid of them. Now, this isn't me commenting on what I believe to be right or wrong or whatever. This is just laying out for what it is. They want to be able to be given welfare. They don't want to have to work. They want you to take care of them from cradle to grave and not worry about it. So this is something that as they have kids, and by the way, they have a lot more kids than the people that actually go to work. People who pay for their own kids generally can't afford to have more than one or two. People that don't pay for their own kids have welfare, can have four, five, six, seven, eight. And besides that, they have the time to watch them, take care of them, to have them. So you can see the lopsidedness in what happens over a period of time. The number of votes that can vote socialistic compared to the number of votes that can vote for individualism are highly outweighed. And so a book of a country or our country eventually starts to lean one direction or the other. And the question is here in the U.S., when will there be 51% of the people wanting the 49% of the people to take care of them? And the 51% of the people will be able to vote that the 49% have to give up what they own to give it to the 51%. It's not if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen. It might happen this year. I see the politics going on right now, and people I know that are conservative are almost crying. I mean, they just don't know what to think. How can everything good in this world be destroyed and let everything bad in this world take over is the kind of mindset that I see. And it's perplexing. It's driving them crazy. I mean, literally smart people are starting to cry. It's that bad. The socialists have taken over. And we'll see if they get it this round. You know, we'll see who wins this presidential election. But what we need to think about here as investors is what does that mean for us? How do we hedge our bet against this type of thinking, against this type of problems? So what is the outcome? Well, the outcome of the book is really interesting because she breaks the world down into two groups of people. Now, you would think it would be Republicans and Democrats. It's not. You would think it'd be rich and poor. It's not. You think it'd be black and white. It's not. She breaks it down into the two most important groups out there. Are you ready? Productive people and non-productive people. So the reality is every single day this world goes on. People get up. They go to work and they produce something. Yet some percentage of Americans do nothing. They produce nothing. In fact, many of them create havoc. They're counterproductive to our society. I've always called these people purple Martians because they come in all colors. That's why I use purple. And Martians because they're not from Earth, man. These are some weird cats from wherever they come from. I have no idea. And I call them cats because you can't hurt them. They just run all over the place and do crazy stuff. And, you know, you all know a couple of those. And some of you know, like, your whole neighborhood is those. And your whole family is those. But these non-productive people eventually have enough kids to have enough votes and or to be able to go out and harass businesses, steal from them, shut them down, make them leave town like they are in San Francisco and other major California cities. Big companies are just pulling out, saying, you're harassing our business so bad. You're stealing from us. We just got to get out of here. And so these war zones are becoming larger and larger and larger to where there's not only is there nothing but bad people living on the street, defecating on the street, taking drugs on the street, but now there's no businesses left. They're going out of business. Well, when the businesses go out of business and the wealthy, successful people leave town, right? And if we go to Ayn Rand's book, Atlas Shrugged, I like the way she doesn't call them the wealthy, successful people. She calls them the productive people. The people that just want to get up and go to work, pay their bills, raise their family, and live a constructive life. These people don't want all that stuff, and they're leaving. And this article's talking about this. They're leaving California, but I know also they're leaving New York, and I know they're leaving Illinois. These three states are losing. They have a net negative, you know, growth of population. It's all moving out. Now, the people that are moving out are not the drug addicts living on the street. No. It's not the illegal aliens that are filling up behind and infilling behind all these productive people. It is the productive people that are leaving and hence taking their tax dollars with them. Now, if you're surviving as a state and you're taxing people 10% of everything they earn, now remember, you're already paying national income taxes, which is anywhere from 10% to 42%, depending on what tax bracket you're in. Now the state's charging you another 10%. That's pretty hefty. But now the state's gone up to 12, 13, 14%. And that's pushing people out the door. So you take the fact that if you were going to invest in California, do you think the values are going up there or going down? You own a piece of real estate in California and they can steal it. By the way, it's a big deal in California now. A thing called squatters. In fact, a guy sent me a video the other day of how squatters actually can take your home over in California. It's amazing stuff. We'll take a short break. Be right back. We'll finish this segment up and move on to the next piece. We'll be right back.
Roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Del Wamsley interviews Chad and Lisa.
This property, for you to have done what you've done, won the award, changed it around, done all the rehab, has got to be worth a lot more.
We purchased for $8.275 and it's worth $19 million now. So.
Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. That is incredible. I can see why you won an award, and that's great.
Lifestyles Unlimited. Over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007 for a $297 membership. Save $443 off the regular price. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we've been in the mailbag and we got hung up on this one email. It was an article about everybody's moving out of California. And the reason they're moving out of California is tax rates keep going up because the wealthy people keep moving out. And the more the wealthy people, which also are the people that pay the taxes, leave, the less income the state has and the higher it has to raise its income tax. According to this article right here, it says they were paying, let's see, it had it in here exactly how much it was. The new 14.4% state tax has far surpassed other notably high tax states. Hawaii's income tax is 11%. New York's income tax, it's like same thing, 10, 11, 12%, something like that. But they're now up to 14.4%. So the bottom line is I was talking about this article or this book called Atlas Shrugged and how Ayn Rand in 1957 actually predicted all this stuff was going to happen that's happening right now. And the end result in her book was that all of the productive people, now notice that I said productive people because she's not saying the rich people. She's not saying the Republicans or the Democrats. She's saying in both parties, people who go to work and produce stuff and create the world will eventually move away from those that want them to give up. In other words, in Atlas Shrugged, the saying is, and this is a socialist saying, from those who have to those who need. And so they just keep robbing the rich to give to the poor. But it's not the rich they're robbing. They're robbing the rich are not even paying taxes. I know because I'm one of them. They're robbing the middle class to give everything to the poor. Or another way to say it, they're robbing the people who get up and go to work every day and giving it to people that don't get up and go to work every day. And the end result in her book was everybody moved away. They all went to one place and hid from all the other people. And what happened when all the productive people leave? The entire country collapsed. Guess what's going to happen? This country is going to collapse. You can see them right now. They don't know how to take care of foreign policy, the people in charge right now. They don't know how to take care of national trade with other countries. They don't know what they're doing. They're not productive. They're all politicians that have never had a business or worked a day in their life. They have no idea how to run a country. All right, moving on. What do we need to glean from that as a real estate investor? Don't invest in California, New York, or Illinois. You're going to pay a hefty price if you do so. All right, moving on. Next article somebody sent me was interesting. It says, watching the housing market closely, it has announced this week that we are at an all-time high for number of used homes on the market. New construction continues to sell while used inventory is cooling down big time. Interest rates and bloated home values continue to make the housing market a pressure cooler. Trend I have noticed in my neighborhood is that all, boy, this guy can't write. I mean, unbelievable. Is that that all new construction is under contract or pending and the old stuff isn't selling. Somebody sent me this. Is this true? No, it's not true at all. This guy, it's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, man. Low-end housing is so hard to get a hold of. It sells instantly. It's the high-end stuff. It's the expensive stuff, the new stuff. It isn't selling. My wife has a major hobby, which is going around looking at new homes, going, we should move to this one, to this one, to this one. And she looks at very expensive homes, always very expensive homes. None of them are selling. Almost all the new homes here in Houston that we've looked at, which I'd say is 25 or 30 new homes in the last couple months, they're all like $1 million below what the original asking price is. They're going down. Whereas as investors, we're every day that if we could find something at low price, we'd suck it up in a second. It'd be gone in 5 seconds. So this guy's absolutely wrong in this article. I don't know how people get to write articles when they don't even know what they're talking about. But it happens, and that's why you send them to me and we go over them. Don't worry about it. What are we buying? We're buying low-end housing. Why? Because it makes sense financially. It rents with positive cash flow. We can buy it, renovate it, and make large capital gains in many cases. So that is what we buy. We do not buy the expensive stuff. We want nothing to do with it. We don't want to buy vacation housing. We don't want condos. We don't do Airbnb. All that stuff that's, you know, been given excitement because it seems like it's the easy, fast way to make money in real estate. None of it makes sense. Buy good blue-collar housing where people who can't afford to buy homes have to live, and they will move in and live there for the rest of their life and pay you rent. That's what we do. All right, moving on. I wanted to reach out and ask your opinion on where to begin my investment journey. I feel like a dog that keeps running around a pool just itching to jump in. I just do not know quite yet where to jump. My current situation, my wife and I are 23 years old and have about $56,000 cash on hand. We live in a small apartment and make a combined $175,000 per year. We have no real assets, just cash and a paid off car and finance car. We're living in Texas for the next 5 years, but plan to move to Colorado after that. Should we buy a house or live in the first and then extra cash to buy small properties? I'm leaning towards more passive income. I'm an airline pilot, so I am on the road and wouldn't mind simply checking in on passive deals. Should I simply go for joining on commercial real estate deals, etc.? All right, let's get down to the crux of it. Young people, you don't need a home. You don't need to buy your personal residence as your first deal. Why? Because if you buy rental properties, the rental income from the rental property you buy will add to your personal income. and your buying power will stay intact. So if you buy one rental property and it's leased, then you can go buy another one, and you can do that on and on and on and on. You shouldn't buy yourself a personal residence. It takes too large a chunk out of your personal wealth, and it puts too large a burden on you. Plus, if you want to be able to move, you don't want to be stuck in a house and have the market turn against you at some point. When you're buying investment properties, it doesn't matter which way the market turns because you're renting them. You're not trying to buy them and sell them and buy them and sell them and so forth. So in this particular case, 100% believe this person should go ahead and start buying some rental properties. Now, the next part of the question is, I don't know what I want to buy. The choices for this individual was between single-family houses and getting into syndicated apartment deals where you're totally passive. Either of those will work, okay? If you want to do nothing at all, then you get into one of these syndicated apartment deals and you don't do anything. You just wait for checks to come in the mail. On the other hand, if you get into single families, you have little clumps of time that you do stuff, like to go buy it and then you renovate it. Now, you're not renovating. Don't get me wrong here. You have a company that's renovating it, and you got to go out and make sure they did it, pay them. Then you rent it, or you could have somebody else rent it. You could have an agent rent it for you, but it's really easy to rent it yourself. So you spend a little bit of time there. And then somebody moves in, and if you've done it correctly, this person will live there 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 years. Why do people live in these rent houses? Because these are blue-collar people that move into a subdivision, their kids get into school, and they don't want to take their kids out of that school. If they start in one school, they want them to graduate out of that school. And so people will move into these houses and stay there. And generally, the only time they'll move is if all their kids are out of school, which is kind of strange because if you got two kids, you know that one of them's getting out of grade school and the other one's still in grade school. You don't want to pop them out of that, so they now go into high school. Now you're waiting for that one to get out of high school. Then the other one, about that time, that guy gets out of high school, that kid. Then the next kid's into high school. And so you get stuck. If you've got a couple kids, you're pretty much stuck to live where you're at for anywhere from, 4 to 8 years. And that's why this stuff is so passive. Because if you do what I tell you to do, which is fix everything up front to where the house is perfect, there's nothing to go wrong with it. And if there's nothing to go wrong with, there's nothing for the tenant to call you about. And if they do call you about something, you just call a contractor and have them go fix it. You don't go fix it. So there's really nothing to do. In fact, even as an airline pilot, you could simply have a call person that if something went wrong with one or all your properties, whatever, they just call this person. That person solves the problem for you. Very easy to do. This is a no-brainer. Guys, when you're young, don't go buy yourself a personal residence. Go buy yourself income-producing properties. All right, moving on. The next email reads as, I just joined as a Financial Freedom member and I will be attending the 2-day seminar. Sadly, online, not in person. Hey, if that's all you can get to it is by online, then that's better than nothing. I will agree, though, that in person, there's a lot more that you absorb. And I think it's because you're absorbed in a room full of people that are all, there focusing on it. Whereas if you listen to it at home, and I've watched some of our stuff at home too, it's very hard that the doorbell rings, the dog barks, the TV's on, whatever. So I think it is better if you come in person, these things. But if that's all you can get to, it's a good way to get started. Goes on and said, maybe the question will be covered when I come to the seminar. But if you grab a little extra info ahead of time, it never hurts. Here's where I stand right now is about 1 year living expenses in the bank and currently no job. Had to move to California to help my kids, and I haven't gotten around to looking for work yet. I've got a 401k that is currently sitting at $171,000. Should I call Fidelity and tell them to cut a check when I'm ready to get and roll on this thing? Or is there a better way to do this? Okay, so a couple things here. I spoke to this person and said, why are you moving to California to help your kids? And it's some deal where he's going through a divorce. His wife lives in California with the kids. And only if he moves to California does he get to see the kids. So now he lives out there. That's going to make it impossible for him to invest close by where he lives. It just doesn't work. I've already talked about that today. The next point I want to make, though, and I see this happen a lot, is that many of you have gone your whole life, and let's say you're 40, you've gone 20 years of working, or you're 50, you've been working for 30 years, or you're 60 and you've been working for 40 years, and you never really understood how you could financially retire in 2 to 5 years and how you could make a lot more money with your investments than what you are and how life could be different. You didn't really understand that. Now that you understand that, you immediately believe you've got to change your entire life. Now, this isn't everybody, but this is a group of people that I run into and have been for 35 years of teaching this stuff. They just all of a sudden say, well, you know, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to pull out all my money and I'm going to go do this. I don't suggest that's the way to go about this. I think you should think about this as I'm going to transition from one position to another. I'm going to work my way through this. Now, that means taking a little bit of money and do an investment. See if you like it. Make sure it works for you, that you're the kind of person that follows the directions necessary to get the results we get. And if you're not, if you're somebody who just can't follow directions, you don't want to go put your whole life savings into something that you won't do right. And when I say right, I mean correctly. You just won't do it. And so you shouldn't. On the other hand, if you come and you test it and you go, hey, this makes sense. I'm able to follow what they're saying and I'm able to make more money with my investments, then you gradually increase what you're doing. Now, some of you are pretty sharp. You have good business acumen. You've been successful in business before. And you get into this and you go, okay, I can see very quickly from the education and maybe one deal that I can do this. And then they move their life savings over to an apartment complex and retire. It happens. It happens here. I've seen it happen many, many, many times. But that's not everybody. So in this particular case with this gentleman, I don't know if he's the person that could do that or not. So whether he should pull it out or not is an unknown at this point. I would definitely go to the two-day. I'd get all the knowledge you possibly can about what we do here. I would talk to as many different people that are members and see if your personality fits the type of personality necessary to make this type of a investment work for you, right? Now, once you start to take it out, now we get to the last part of his question, and that is, how do you get it out of there? And that question's answer is varied, because some people can't get their 401k out unless they quit their job. Some people can borrow up to $50,000 out of theirs, you know, and have 50 grand to work with, but they can't get the whole amount out. Some people that are married can do something called a quadro, where you go out and you get your 401k out of your name and into your spouse's name, and that way your company can't mandate you working there to keep your 401k. So in other words, let's say I've got $200,000 in my 401k and my wife has $100,000 in her 401k. We go to court and I give my 401k legally to her. She gives her 401k to me, or even if it's just one, I give mine to her. She now owns it. Now my company cannot say you have to quit your job to get your 401k out, because it's not my 401k. It's hers. And she doesn't work there. So they can't mandate her to maintain that 401k. That's another way. It's called a quadro. There are ways after 59 and a half you get it out without paying penalty, but you still have to pay taxes. And there are ways to pull it out and maneuver it such that you can reduce the amount of taxes that you pay. This is very complicated taxing, tax planning. There's the right word for it. It's very complicated tax planning to figure that out. It's not something you just going to come here and say, well, give me the answer. There's no answer. We got to look at your personal financial situation, your job, your income, your what you have, and how you can manipulate that. So you're going to need to get in here and get information, get started, get educated before you make a decision like that. Once you do, it all starts to build up. We get all the information together and building blocks of the plan, and then we can figure out how to take that money out. Some people don't want to take it out. They don't want to pay the taxes. So they move the money into a self-directed IRA and invest with a self-directed IRA. The problem with that is you lose all the benefits of real estate to the self-directed IRA. What does that mean? Well, number one, you don't get to use the depreciation. So the income is not tax-free. All the income goes into your IRA. And when it comes out as ordinary income. And you have to pay ordinary income taxes. So my friends, that's not a good choice. Well, I hope we learned something today. And remember, always, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.